Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Random. My name is Kevin.
I'm Lyle.
And we are enjoying this beautiful springtime weather in the Northeast United States of America, and it couldn't be better weather-wise, but you know, I was going somewhere with that, dude. I have no idea where to take it.
Just trying to do a
solid, friendly, upbeat opener, and look where it got me.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Got me nowhere. Damn
right.
It.
Yeah.
So he's Lyle, I'm Kevin, and this show is basically about whatever we want to talk about. We have another show called The Fantasy Football Guys, and we tend to go off on tangents that have nothing to do with football there. So we decided to start this show about whatever we damn well please want to talk about. So
pretty much, yeah.
One of the things that Lyle and I have always been students of and appreciative of is tech companies and just companies in general that have failed miserably because they did not see the big train coming at them, the train of technology.
It's never not funny, right?
Oh, it's hugely funny.
Yeah, it's never not funny.
Well, you know, first of all, you can look back to when, I mean, it's even more, you know, I was even more technology starved as a child. You grew up primarily in the 90s, right? You were a 90s kid?
Well, yeah, late 80s, early 90s. Yeah, I went to high school in the 90s. So.
Right, so you know, you don't really know a teenager adult life without computers and video games.
Video games, certainly. I had a computer, but I don't, like, by today's standards, it's not a computer.
Well, right? Of course, yeah. I mean, 10 years ago, today's standards are not computers.
I know, but I didn't have like Windows or anything until I was probably 20 or 21.
You know? Okay, and that would have been like late '90s, right?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So all my time through high school and into my, I don't know, middle to late computers? No. None of that,
didn't exist.
Man. Well, they did exist. I mean, you know, because my wife, who grew up in Jersey and went to a larger school district that had more money than the school district I went to, they had a computer department because her mother ran it, okay? So, you know, it was awful. They were terrible. By today's standards, of course, you know, there were Apple ones and Apple twos and things like that, which were fantastic at the time, but I didn't have that. So when you think about how fast technology's grown just in my/our lifetimes, you know, you can kind of see where some of these companies would think, you know, this is the way we've always done it and we've always been successful, right?
Right.
Not so much.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, even tech companies. Like, you know, my first example here is really AOL, because...
Oh, dude, they're the biggest ones.
Everybody had AOL.
They owned the internet.
Right, they were the internet to a lot of people.
Basically, they're just email now. I know people that still pay for AOL, or I don't even know if you pay for it anymore, but whatever, they still have an account just because of their email address.
You know, to me, if somebody gives me an AOL email address, I just immediately consider them to be a hipster because...
Yeah, it's like that and Hotmail. Even Yahoo, I kind of look down upon. I'm like, ew.
Oh, they're on my list too, dude. I mean, because, you know, a lot of these companies could have been
Yahoo still is, right? They're still a player. They're not a major player like they were back in the day. And basically just Google beat everybody with their simplistic model.
Right.
But there were a lot of search engines back in the day that were wildly popular.
Well, AltaVista, you remember Excite?
Lycos, right. You know, all of those, websites where they were, you know, as popular as like Google or Yahoo is today in their era. So obviously there's more people on the internet now, but
right.
In their time, like AltaVista was super popular. Like
sure.
It was a pretty good search engine.
And I remember
Google
Lynx
just came in and took all of them away. Yeah, that's a good one.
Lynx was the text-only search engine because it was retro, apparently.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So if you look at search engines, I mean, obviously it's boiled down to a few. I mean, you know, do people still actually use Bing for anything? I mean, that was an attempt, but...
I guess some people do. Like, for example, people like my grandfather.
He uses Bing?
He has a Windows machine. It's got Internet Explorer on it. And when he goes to search for something, Bing comes up.
Right.
So he uses Bing.
He's never bothered to change it.
Right. He wouldn't even know that there's an ability to change it, right? He's just
right.
He's Binging all over the place. But and the Xbox used to force you to use it, but they have some other piece of trash in there now. It might still be Bing, I can't remember, but
right.
You know, it's garbage. And you know, and the thing is, that's another company, man, is Microsoft. Listen, they're still really dominant in software, and they're obviously they're pretty dominant in the video game market, right? So they're not a bad company. But for as much money and as powerful as that company was, man, you go into a Microsoft store, it makes no sense. They tried to model themselves after Apple.
It doesn't.
You know,
work.
They don't sell computers in there.
Wow.
Well, I mean, think about it. Microsoft doesn't have a computer. They have a Surface. They have a tablet.
Right.
But there are no Microsoft computers, are they?
No, I mean, they were just...
No, it's like an IBM or an HP or a Dell or
anything
whatever
that's
that
not
has,
an Apple or Linux
that has,
machine, right?
That has... Right, it has Microsoft software on it, but it's not manufactured by Microsoft. So, yeah, it's pretty wild, man, when you think about it. I really don't understand those stores, because what can you buy there? Okay, Microsoft Surface tablets.
Right.
You can buy software.
Right.
Or you can buy Xbox stuff. I can get all of those things in different stores.
I could get all those things on Amazon, which we'll talk about later.
Right.
Amazon was the big killer, but...
So, yeah, it kind of makes me crazy. Like, when I go into the Apple store, there's stuff that store has that I cannot get in any other store on the planet.
Right. When you walk in that Apple store, you don't want to walk out of there empty-handed, because there's always something in there you're like, oh, my God, look at this.
I got my drone in there, you know?
Right.
They have such cool stuff. So,
well, the thing that Microsoft really missed the boat on was the fact that, like, back in the early 2000s, they were working on a tablet. And, you know, they basically just ditched the whole thing because, you know, it really doesn't, they didn't really feel as though it could be viable, because it was still, it was before the touch screens.
Yeah, hello? You still talking?
Yeah, oh yeah, we're here.
Yeah, you didn't have to stop. I muted, dude. So
okay.
You can cut that out. My son came into the room for everybody that was wondering.
Yeah, okay, I got you. Yeah.
Kevin can hear me on the phone, but I muted the mic, dude. So
gotcha.
Sorry about that blank space. Maybe you can cut it out in post, man.
No, I'm going to leave it right in there.
Okay. Awkward silence. Here's what happened. My kid walked into my office while I was doing this.
And started talking, which was kind of funny. It was like, hey, Romy, what's up, man?
Yeah,
so anyway,
yeah.
The thing about Microsoft is that they could have been a decade ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they were trying to build it too cheaply. I mean, you know, the displays were awful. They still had styluses. The operating system was full-blown Windows, which was clunky as hell.
It always has been clunky and always will be clunky. Windows is garbage. In my opinion, I know it's gotten better, and there's some hardcore Windows people out there, especially gamers. I don't blame you. I get it. But at the same time, man, I made the switch a long, long time ago, and I have never looked back, man. And it's actually a prerequisite for me to take a job. Like, if I went to go to a work at a place today, and if they said, hey, man, we're solely Windows-based, I don't think I could do it, man. I think that would be a deal breaker for me.
Well, here's the thing, dude. My work, they issued me a Windows laptop, and I just danced between the two operating systems, and it's not that big of a deal.
If I could use a Mac, I'd be fine with it. If I just, because when I was at Bank of America, I had to do that too,
yeah.
Where I had both. But if for some reason, like, it was mandatory that I only use a PC, well, I'm kind of out.
Yeah, I get you. Well, let's jump back to the beginning. We were talking about AOL and the fact that they basically, for most people, they were the internet, because, you know, on AOL's system, you could go into a browser and then just go right onto the internet. But most people, they just stayed within the AOL framework, and that's where they had their chats, and that's where they, you know, they had their favorites. But, you know, it was a pain in the ass, because every time you clicked something, you had to wait because art had to download. I started hating art.
It was super slow back then. And
who is this son of a bitch Art who's slowing down my experience?
There was so much junk in there too.
Oh yeah.
But you know, I never had an AOL account. Never.
Really?
Never.
I think you're the one dude who
I know.
Never had an AOL account.
I built my first computer. I built it myself. I ordered the parts and built it, because I was an electronic engineering student at the time. So I built it. And I installed all the software on it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going with this. So I went with some other internet service provider. I think it was Errol's. E-R-O-L-S.
Ooh, Errol's. Good
Remember
God.
Those guys?
They were, yeah. they were an electronics store.
Were they?
Yeah.
Well, they anyway, were. They were an ISP too.
Right.
And, you know, they ended up actually kicking me off, but whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what's funny is those companies, not just AOL, all of them died because the big guys got in, right? Comcast, Verizon.
And we're faster. As soon as dial-up went away and other means of delivering internet went away, Prodigy and CompuServe were killed by AOL.
Oh,
and,
man.
And AOL Prodigy. Were killed by them. You remember Prodigy, man?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, okay.
And thing is, back in the day, it was important, right? Like, it was important to have one of those companies, and they were all sort of part of this new thing that was happening, and they were a big deal, right? They were making a lot of money, but, man, they died so quickly. Like, I probably couldn't, like you just said, Prodigy, I hadn't thought about them probably in 20 years.
Yeah, why would you?
I know.
Well, the thing that killed AOL really was the fact that they got really too big too fast. Because I was reading that in 1997...
What killed them? It was Time Warner bought them and didn't know what to do with them.
Right, but before that, it was reported in 97 that 60% of all people who went onto AOL got a busy signal.
Really?
The first time. They had to keep trying. So they didn't have the infrastructure for as big as they were. You know, because every time you went to the mailbox, there was an AOL disk in it, even if you already were a member, right?
Yeah, man. I used to get them all the time.
Right. So, you know, basically, as soon as people had another option, even if it wasn't a faster option necessarily, that you could go to, AOL just went by the dumper. It was a shame.
It's not really a shame. It was a garbage service even when it was at its peak.
It was.
But that's sort of the way the internet goes. Like, you have some things that are super popular, and then if someone else does it better, they go away, you know, rather quickly. I mean, look at MySpace or Vine.
Here's another one for you from the past. You remember Friendster?
I do remember Friendster.
Early 2000s, dude. They were like Facebook early. They were like, they had a timeline. They had messaging, and you could put stuff on a wall, and then you could friend people and all like that. But they just didn't know how to grow. And Facebook took that model and just built on it. And, you know, obviously they got, you know, Napster money and things like that to be able to grow. So, you know, they took off. But Friendster.
Yeah, Napster.
Yeah, it was awful. Man. So then, you know, MySpace was huge. I mean, I didn't have a MySpace page, but
I never did either.
The kids did, and you know, I tried to go in and build one, but it was kind of a pain in the ass to build a MySpace page. You know,
you know it's still out there, right?
Yeah, it is.
You know that it's like a music site now.
Yeah, and I think a couple of bands have been launched off of it, right?
Have they? Yeah,
I think.
But it's so far below what it used to be. It's actually kind of sad.
It is.
You think about it. And the thing is, Facebook came along, and everybody was like, Facebook, and now Facebook's lame, too.
Well, Facebook is an adult thing now. It's not a kid thing anymore. I mean, you know, it started with the kids. Now it's, you know, so old high school friends can keep up. News Corp, talk about being technology unsavvy. News Corp bought MySpace for $580 million in 2005. And I think a few years ago, the original MySpace people bought it back for like $8 million.
Is that right?
Yeah, something paltry by comparison like that.
Wow.
So let me hang on to your money for 10 years, and I'll give you back, oh, I don't know, 4% of what you gave me to get basically the same product. But, well, the thing is News Corp bought it and didn't clean up any of the problems.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so.
No, that's pretty hilarious, dude.
Yeah, they thought they were buying a turnkey product, but it was really a piece of shit when you get right down to it. You log in and there were songs screaming at you and animated GIF backgrounds. And
yeah, man, it's kind of a nightmare. But it's not. The thing that's funny about this whole technological revolution that's happened recently with computers is it wasn't just software companies or online companies or even things that were directly impacted by the internet, right? Look at what happened to Kodak.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, their bread and butter was film.
And now, developing, yeah.
Yeah, and developing film. Now, find some Kodak film, right? Doesn't exist. You can buy little fake cameras from somebody. Same thing with, what was that other company? Polaroid.
Right.
Right.
Well, Kodak still exists because they mm-hmm. build digital cameras.
Right. But I'm saying they got in way, way late.
They did. They did. Obviously.
I remember reading an article where they were talking about how there's always going to be a market for film because purists will want, you know, the best quality, and digital will never surpass that. Boy, were they wrong.
They now, were listen, horribly wrong.
There, yeah. There's going to be a market for film. There will be some people out there that enjoy that process. But it's like a turntable and records now, right? They're for people who enjoy that specific thing, not for music, right?
Right. For somebody who has their own dark room and wants to develop their own black and white film.
It's a hobby.
Right, yeah, because when I was a kid, I did that. I took black and white shots and developed my own film. I didn't have a dark room. I had a friend that had one, but I love that stuff, you know, going in there with the red light and the process and, you know, hanging the pictures now, up to dry. It was great.
Now you can literally take a picture at super high quality and print it out at super high quality in 2 minutes.
Not just that, but you can take a picture. I mean, imagine how news corporations have improved with this, with the digital technology.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody can be... Too. Somebody can be in Europe and take a picture of something happening downtown Paris with their phone and email it to their news bureau back in New York, and it can be on the internet. It can all happen in 5 minutes.
Yep. Yep, and be up.
Be up.
You know, yep.
Yeah, so back in the day, dude, you had to develop the film and then put it in a package to go on an airplane, and a week later it showed up.
Right.
You know? Crazy.
Even if it was fast, right, it would take... minimum like 12 hours or something before it got somewhere.
They eventually came up with the machines to send photographs, but they were, you know, pixelated. They were dot matrix pictures that would go in newspapers, and they weren't color. They were grayscale, obviously. Right. You know, so obviously now that newspapers are mostly online, that, you know, it can go from happening to being seen on the newspaper's website in mm-hmm. minutes. And it's crazy. It's beautiful.
Well, that's the other... corporations that really missed the boat, really all of big media whiffed. All of them: radio, television. I guess film is still pretty good because they still have the lockdown in the theater market,
right?
So I guess they're still pretty good. But radio, TV, news organizations, any kind of print media like magazines and stuff. Ooh, and there's still some of those people that want to charge you money. And I'm not talking about the New York Times, right? New York Times can get away with, the Washington Post can get away with asking for money for their content. They're, you know,
they're the
way
newspapers
above.
Of record. The New York Times has actually calls itself the newspaper of record.
Right.
But the Washington.
That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
But the News Journal, the Delaware newspaper, wants money to read their online thing. Like, you can read so many free articles a month. And then it wants money. And it's like, dude, I'm not paying you for this crap.
Yeah, all I have to do is clear my cookies, fool, and I'll be right back in business.
Right. Yeah. I'm behind 7 proxies.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, and the thing about it is the News Journal is a piece of shit, and I wouldn't.
It really
the reason
is
I
garbage.
Go there is to look at high school sports stories, honestly.
That or some kind of local, you know, local election, local politics stuff.
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I look at it like, you know, 4 or 5 times a year, maybe. It's crazy because I used to read that paper every day, and I used to wait for it when I was a little kid. I used to wait for it on Tuesdays because on Tuesdays in the sports section, they had all of the Major League Baseball stats.
Right.
All of them. They had like 2 or 3 pages dedicated in the smallest print you've ever seen of everybody's stats.
4-point type.
Yeah, man. So I used to be hype about that thing, and now I could not think about it less. I literally couldn't. Every once in a while when I'm buying something at the store, I'll catch a headline, and I'll go, oh, and I'll touch it, and I'll be like, oh, neat. And then I put it down. And it kind of sucks because there is something, I don't know, there's something neat about holding a book or a newspaper and reading it, you know?
Kind of, yeah. There is. But I don't really miss holding a book because, especially a big, like a Stephen King book, right?
Yeah.
Because it's 1,000 pages and the damn thing weighs 8 pounds and, you know.
Yeah.
Or I can just hold my Kindle, or I can hold my iPad.
Your
iPad, it's all beautiful.
Or your phone or your whatever.
Right. I love, dude, I love having the book that I'm reading with me at all times on my phone.
Yeah, it's pretty dope. And here's the thing. Yeah, you don't even have to take anything with you other than your phone. Like, you can have it on multiple devices at the same time, and they'll sync where your bookmark is.
Would you like to go to the latest page read? Well, yes, I would. Thank you.
Not only that, they have a new thing now where they'll, you can transition it to audio when you get into your car.
Right.
And listen to the audio until you get all out of your car again, then switch it back over to print. Dope. That's dope. Crazy talk, man.
It's like,
that's
dope.
Well, man, so, and this leads me into, yeah, I mean, it is dope. This
dude, the 80s called. They want their saying back.
Whatever, man. Whatever. It's the bee's knees. MF-er. So that's the other thing that's kind of crazy about all this stuff is I don't feel like I'm living in the future, but remember they used to, like movies and like cartoons and stuff would have like video phones.
Right.
And you talk to people on video and you'd be like, oh, that's so cool. Like, how, you know, how they even, that's not even possible. Yet now I do it every day and I don't even think about it.
Yeah,
my kids,
yeah,
FaceTime me all the time. And I'm like, hey, they'll do it while we're in the same building. You know, they're like, hey, instead of like, you know, my daughter's got a question, you know, she's out there doing her homework or something, she'll FaceTime me instead of getting up and talking, taking five steps and opening my door.
Right.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Right. Well, when my son Rob was living here, he'd be down here playing games, and he would be angry if I called down the stairs to him. He'd say, Dad, just text me. Because if I'm playing a game, I don't want to have to stop to, you know, talk. And yeah,
right,
dude, that's all different. That's all different show, though, talking about the youth of today.
Right.
Talk about another company that really just did not see that train coming, dude. Blockbuster.
Well, they're the biggest example, right? Because they actually knew, and they still didn't do anything about it. And then what was really sad is they actually launched a service just like Netflix.
But too late.
And whiffed on that, too. Yeah.
Well, see, the thing is, and I was reading an article about this lately, and this is the article that really kind of brought me to want to have this discussion on this show, was the fact that not only did Blockbuster miss the boat, but they also missed how much people hated them.
Yeah.
Because their selection was terrible. The fact that you had to wait in a 10-person line to rent a video. The fact that, you know, if you were an hour late, because you had to have it in by 4. If you didn't, then you had to pay like a $4 or $5 late fee. It's like people were like, ah, hate this.
But you know, dude, I had a collections agency call me one time and tell me that I had accrued $100 in late fees at some store that had closed. And they bought all the debt from the store. So they actually dinged my credit report for $105. And they were like, you're going to pay us this money. And I went, no, I'm not. They were like, well, it's going to be 7 years. I was like, see you in 7 years, pal. I have no evidence that this is real. Like, they didn't have a bill. The store's closed. They didn't have anything.
Right. So you could just call up people and go, you owe me $100.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah. No thanks. Yeah. Yeah. Good luck.
Actually, that would probably be a pretty big business.
It probably is.
I mean, it's, arrestable and stuff. Here comes Netflix, right? And they just kind of thought Netflix was, a fly-by-night deal. And, next thing you know, I mean, the great thing is like, wait a minute, I go on the internet and I choose the movies I want. And all I have to do is drop it in the mail. And then 2 days later, I get another movie to watch. And I don't have late fees and I can keep it as long as I want. I kept a movie for a year once.
Did you really?
Yeah, because, I got a movie. I got a movie that came, well, I think it was Siriana, right? It came in, and then their online service kind of blew up, right? So I just kind of started watching that, and the movie that I'd gotten was on the online service, so I just stuck it in a drawer somewhere and just kept watching the online, and one day I found it. I'm like, oh, I better send this damn thing back. So,
that's freaking hilarious. So,
yeah.
And now, right, they have those red boxes everywhere.
Yeah.
And people still use those, and I always sort of feel sad for them. I had this observation the other day. I was outside of like a Walgreens or something. Right after leaving the gym, I forget what I was buying, but anyway, I come out and I'm sitting in my car like munching on something, and this dude walks up like all slow to the red box, and he's like trying to make a selection, and I was like, oh, buddy.
Sorry, man.
I'm so sorry, man. That's so sad, right? Because all of my media is digital now. All of it.
Yeah.
It's all, except for Roman, my son. He's autistic, and he's, for whatever reason, super into VHS tapes. So wow. He actually has a VHS player, and we buy him VHS tapes all the time. And dude, those things are hard to find, man. Like, you have to, they're almost always used, and because they don't really produce them anymore for anything.
Why would they?
Why? Nobody's going to buy them. So,
dude, you need to be hitting up yard sales and whatnot.
You know what it is? Goodwill, man. Dude, I got the entire Star Wars collection, the old school ones, still in the box, like beautiful, perfect condition.
Did you look at 3PO's leg?
I didn't. No, I need to go do that now, though. Don't blow my mind right now.
Dude, it's silver. It's always been silver.
It's not silver. It's never been silver. I hate everybody.
It's always been silver.
This, by the way, everybody, this is called the Mandela Effect. I think we talked about it last year on Random. And believe it or not, and the Mandela Effect is referring to like an alternate reality or somebody is messing with time. Because I know for a fact that C-3PO never had a silver leg, but apparently it's always been silver. One of his legs is silver from the knee down.
Always
total
been silver.
BS. It doesn't make any sense. Why is it silver? Doesn't make any sense.
I guess they ran out of gold plating.
Whatever. So, anyway. It's ridiculous. Anyway, what was I saying?
I don't know. The red box, dude. Something. Yeah,
red box. Yeah, all my media is digital, man. It's like it wouldn't even occur to me to buy a DVD. Like, I walk through Walmart and there's a giant DVD rack and stuff, and I don't even think about it. Right?
Yeah, I went to Best Buy the other day because I bought a Fitbit, right?
Right.
I didn't know what size band I needed, so I wanted to actually try the damn thing on. So I went to a brick and mortar store, God forbid. So I looked over and there was a whole section of DVDs and music, and I'm like, what is this, the 90s?
Yeah.
Did I remember,
they used to have those gigantic stores? That's all they had? You know?
Oh, yeah.
That's all they had was CDs and DVDs.
Dude, I remember Tower Records in New York going there and getting stuff.
There's that. I mean, that's you're just ancient there. So
yes, I am. Dude, I remember 8-track tapes. My parents had an 8-track tape player in their car.
I had an 8-track tape player. Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And some old 8-track. Somebody, you know, obviously that was a lot older than me had given it to me. But, you know, talk about, like, missing the boat, dude. The music industry whiffed hard.
Hard. And you know what? Here's
the
thing. They still have. They're still whiffing.
I know, because they pushed back against piracy instead of trying to solve it. See, Apple looked at it and went, people want this digital media. All we have to do is provide it to them in a really easy and convenient way at a reasonable price, and people will buy the shit out of it, right?
And
no question. Imagine if Sony would have done that, you know, or one of the major record labels, you know what I mean? Imagine if they would have done that, like, right out of the gate. As soon as Napster happened, they would have went like, okay, you know, Napster bad, but here's our online store. Boom, there you go.
Well, you
Apple
know
might not be the company that they are today.
Sony tried. Now, the problem with Sony is...
They did it afterwards, though.
But the problem with Sony is the problem that's always been with Sony, okay? Sony had the first video cassette recorder, okay? It was a beta, okay? And it was actually a superior product, but they didn't market it very well. So it went by the wayside, and it was a proprietary file format. And the same thing happened with music. They had a digital music player, but... you had to go through like a slow software process to convert your music to their format, right? So what did Apple do? MP3. It's good for everybody, and it's smaller than Sony's.
Yep.
Right? So...
Oh, was that before Apple?
I think it was around the same time. Oh, okay. Because really, dude, Sony owned portable music. They had the Walkman.
I know,
and
Walkman,
came out with
the
Discman, which I of course had, like everybody else.
I had both of them. Yeah, they were awesome.
And then, when it became time for digital music, I mean, because CDs are digital, basically, it's just a matter of changing formats and putting them into a different form, right?
I don't know if CDs are digital or not.
It's digital. It's just digital and printed on a readable disc.
Because they're almost exactly like records, right? DVDs are the same thing. I actually did a lot of research on this when I was in college.
It's instead of a needle, it's a laser.
All right, it's a laser that reads bumps and stuff on that's imprinted on the disc.
But it's still ones and zeros.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, you know, and the thing about it is, dude, and think about this, okay? If Sony had had their heads out of their asses when they created this and didn't worry about proprietary music format, what really launched Apple as a major force in technology was the iPod. Think about that.
Yeah.
The iPod sold how many hundreds of thousands of units, which really jump-started that company, right?
Well, so, it was, I mean, it was still kind of an awesome company, but yes, it made them a quadrillion dollars, and here's why. It was super easy to use, and it held a ton of songs.
It did.
There was a bunch of MP3 players back in the day. Tons of them. I had different ones.
Doesn't our boy Mike from the other podcast, yeah, doesn't he have that, like a Zune or something?
Is that what it is? Is the Zune? Yeah, that Microsoft one that they launched. He's like, what about the Zune? He actually convinced us to put our podcast on the Zune market at one point. It might still be there. I don't know.
That lasted for like a weekend. I don't know.
It's hilarious, man, the Zune market.
So if not for Sony's heads up their asses, may not have the Apple company that we do today.
Well, I have to believe they would have innovated something cool, because, I mean, it's not like they were, their computers were still awesome. It's not like they were a junk company.
Right. I mean, their computers were awesome, and they would be awesome, but they would just be, you know, a company that made computers. Because if Sony had put out a player with easy to use, I mean, they would have been Apple, right? And the iPod would have been the also-ran product.
Right. Yeah,
You want to get to the market first with the best. You don't want to get to the market fifth with, you know, the best, because by then everybody's got one, and yours isn't going to be the one that everybody talks about.
Right.
So, and then on the iPod platform comes the iPhone, and the rest is, of course, history.
Yeah, man. And the thing is, Apple iterated on that thing. If you think about it, they really didn't build anything new. Right, they had the MP3 player, and they just iterated on it until it was a phone, and then they phased out the MP3 players and made them more like the phones without the phone technology. And then they took that thing and blew it up till it was bigger, and as a tablet. But they didn't, like, they just kept iterating on the same thing.
And they continued to do that. Really, I mean, when you think about it, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they should, because they knocked it out of the park with that thing. But I wonder what the world would be like without iPhones. I mean, there would certainly be digital phones. They would just all suck like Android does. Sorry, my Android peeps. Every time I touch one of those devices, like, it doesn't matter what it is. Samsung, like, you know, LG... a Microsoft phone, those Surface tablets. Every time I touch one, I go, man, this is really cool, but it's not an iPhone or it's not an iPad, right?
Yeah,
it's
just Robbie has a Samsung Galaxy something, and it's great. I mean, it looks cool. It's got the, you know, the infinity screen that goes right to the edge.
Yeah.
You know, so he can lay his phone down on the table, right? And the screen kind of goes around the edge. So if he gets a text, he kind of lights up on the side because the screen's lit, right?
Right.
So he's like, I love that. Okay, well, good for you. You keep loving it.
Yeah.
But,
It's not an iPhone, homie.
It's not an iPhone. Can't do the operating system, man. I just don't like the way it works. Just don't.
Me either. And usually I'm into super hackable stuff, and those are way more hackable than iPhones are.
Yeah.
But I still just, I just have no interest in it, man. You know, and think about it. These devices, too, also just did away from the portable video game player. Right? They just did away with it. Remember, it was Game Boys, and then Sony had the PSP. I still have a PSP.
Right.
It's sitting over in the corner, and I play it every once in a while because it's a badass device, man.
Right.
But, you know, I used to put movies on it and, like, all kinds of stuff, right? But then I got an iPhone, and I didn't have to do that anymore.
Well, I mean, what was the Nintendo product? I mean,
Game Boy,
right? Yeah. My guys still play on that because new Pokemon games come out, etc.
Do you still have a Game Boy?
Yeah, they both have Game Boys.
Oh, you talking about the Game Boy Advance? I thought you were talking about the old school one. Yeah, we got one somewhere around here too.
Yeah,
I'd love to have one of those old ones.
Oh yeah, well, I used to have one with the green
me
screen.
Too. Yeah, me too. I used to play Excitebike for hours.
Excitebike, wow!
Remember that? Tetris. My dad played Tetris on that thing. I'm not kidding you, Kevin, for 12 hours one day.
Same game?
Same game. He beat it. He beat Tetris on the Game Boy, the old school Tetris. A rocket went off, exploded, and then it was just like game over. And he was like, I did it. I did it.
I got to the end of the internet.
Yeah. Well, there was no internet back then.
Yeah, I know.
You're probably talking 1990 or something.
Wow. That was a while ago.
Yeah, a little while ago. Yeah.
So one of the biggest companies in the world now is Amazon. They just keep growing, growing, growing. And, you know, oddly enough, like 20 years ago, I did temporary work at Christmas in their warehouse here in Newcastle. And, you know, at the end of the seasonal run, they interviewed some people for a job there. And I was terribly overqualified for the gig. I just happened to be between jobs at the moment. And they were like, why do you want to work at Amazon? I'm like, well, you know, I really don't want to work in the warehouse. I really want to work in IT. And they're like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I was done. But, dude, you know, the whole thing was about stock options. Can you imagine having 20-year-old Amazon stock?
Be pretty dope, man.
It would be pretty dope. Yeah, back in the 80s, you could say dope and not be thought.
You could say dope now. You could still say dope. What difference does it make?
I guess it is the bomb.
Okay, you know? I used the word and you knew exactly what it meant, which therefore means it's part of
the
English.
Lexicon. Yeah, I get you. So anyway, brick and mortar bookstores. It's lit. Yeah, there you go. Brick and mortar bookstores. I mean, I used to love to go into Borders over by.
Oh man, I love that store. I was so sad when it went away.
It is, but you know what? I was researching the show, I came across an article talking about all of the horrible things that Borders did to hasten their demise. I mean, obviously, you know, Barnes & Noble's still out there. They have a Kindle product. I don't even know what it's called, but
a Nook.
And you know what? It's successful. They do well with it. And I guess you can probably get the Nook app on your iPad. Good for them.
I don't know.
They're still out there selling. But here, Borders, founded in 1971 by a couple brothers, okay? By the 90s, stores like Borders and Barnes & Noble, those two had like a combined 40% market share, which was huge
between the massive. Two. Yeah.
And so once it got that big, a huge series of screw-ups basically is what killed Borders. Here we go. You ready? And this is from Business Insider magazine. It says, aggressive expansion of its retail footprint saddled the company with long-term leases that would later prove a decisive factor in its bankruptcy. They grew too fast, and they had too much brick-and-mortar debt to be able to continue effectively, basically. So they really focus on having a superior selection to Barnes & Noble, but really customers didn't really care about that. And when Borders kind of made that a big deal, customers didn't care. I mean, you know, because they don't care that you have really esoteric books. They just want the latest Grisham, you know, honestly. So and that's what it comes down to. Do you remember, Lyle, when Borders hired Amazon to control their online bookstore?
That, I do remember that, and that was the most shocking thing to me, because I remember going online and going, I went to the store and I had to order a book, right? They didn't have it in stock. I forget what it was now.
Right.
It was probably a book on poker, because they didn't have a lot of books on poker. And, I went and they were like, you know what, we can order it and have it in the store, but honestly, you can just go on our website and order it and have it even faster. And I went, okay. And I was like, what's the website? He said, just go to borders.com, you'll find it. I said, okay. So I went home, got online, and went to borders.com, and then I was like, wait a minute, why am I on Amazon? So literally, I just went, well, if I'm going to order it from Amazon, I'll just order it from Amazon. So I went to Amazon and looked for it and found it, and it was cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
It was cheaper than it was, but the Borders was the store was run by Amazon,
right? And because it was cheaper for Amazon, because when you went through Borders, Borders was taking their cut.
They were taking a cut, so I was like, why am I paying Borders here?
So, dude, in 2001, they started that partnership with Amazon, and it was 2008 before they had their own website.
Ugh, good.
And
Lord.
By then, as we say, it was too damn late.
Yeah, it was way too late. Amazon was already the gigantic company by then, right. You know?
So, and then they started to do an increased focus on, I don't know if you remember when Borders completely redid their store. They had fewer books and more CDs and DVDs, immediately preceding the plunge in sales of those things as consumers went to digital.
That's so hilarious. It's so
it is.
But they did have a weird market in there where they would have like the collector sets and stuff, right? They would have these special editions.
Right.
Of
big
things.
Box sets, right.
Right. And I remember people always ordering them, but I couldn't figure out why, because like I would walk into that store and I'm not kidding you, it would be Alien, right?
Right.
It'd, like super deluxe version Alien. And I'm like, that movie came out in 1980, dude. Like, why am I going to pay $100 for that?
Well, because you get the stuffed alien toy in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good movie, but I can go watch it right now for not $100.
Exactly right.
You know? So I never understood that model. I mean, I guess they had, you know, customers that would, they would purchase those things, but come on, man, it couldn't be enough.
Well, obviously it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never understood that.
So then they bought a stationery company called Paper Chase for some reason, because people were writing letters and such.
Right, yeah, because paper's popular.
That was 2004, so that was a shit show.
Unless it's printer paper.
Yeah. And even printer paper these days. Printing?
Yeah, still people do print, especially in offices and stuff. I mean, paper is still a valid thing that's needed, you know.
It is. But I have to imagine that for the decrease in paper usage is sharp over the past decade.
Yeah.
Wildly. So then Borders launched an e-reader called Kobo, and they didn't have sufficient support for the
never
thing.
Heard
it
of
really
it.
Never caught on
never
to the point
it.
Where I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I've never heard of it either. And so I'm pretty into those kind. You know what the thing is, though? Like, they could have been Starbucks, too. Because they had the little cafes in their bookstores and stuff.
Right, right.
You know, they could have done that, too.
Yeah.
Because they had the cool vibe, man. They had the entire market cornered on cool place for hipsters to hang out.
Well, the great thing is they had couches and chairs and stuff. You could just go pluck a book off the shelf and sit there and read it.
Yeah.
And they didn't care.
They did not care.
And you could go get a pastry and a cup of coffee or a juice. They didn't have soda, which I thought was weird. But
I used to rock the chai.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The apple chai, bro. Mm. Oh, yeah. And then the last thing that really threw the kill on them was they did a stock buyback program in 2005 and spent $600 million on that.
Wow.
And, yeah, that was pretty much it. And then, you know, Amazon grew bigger, and they started selling more things besides, you know, books. They started selling music, and they started selling movies, and they started selling toys.
Dude, Prime is one of the most brilliant things ever.
I love Prime. And you know what?
It's so brilliant.
Bosch drops tomorrow, the third season of Bosch.
I know.
I'm
super
so
excited. Me too.
I'm sitting here with a semi.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, not only are they getting into the whole Netflix thing, they're producing their own TV shows, which, by the way, are very good.
Oh yeah,
they're probably not on the level of Netflix yet, but all of the series that they have produced have been very, very entertaining. You know, so they have that whole thing going for them. But let's also not forget, right? They also have like the biggest store in the world. They got the Amazon lockers. A lot of places they do 2-hour delivery for an item that you order. Like what? You know, they're gonna start using drones apparently or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're a ridiculous store, but they have all this other stuff that they're getting into too, because they're getting into wallet payments and stuff because they have the ability to explore that stuff. They have the capital.
That's just
right. And they also already have a place, right, where they can process those payments, right, because they're a giant store. So they're getting into the online payments business, which is probably super brilliant. Yeah, man, they have their fingers in so many things. It's kind of impressive, but at the same time, I guess it shouldn't be all that shocking because they were such a well-run company from the very beginning. I don't know, but their Prime program is the most brilliant thing that's ever happened, not just the videos and stuff. Dude, the shipping, man. That's what sold me on it. It was there was a hurricane coming our way. It was supposed to turn out, right? And they 2 days before the hurricane, they were like, "Nope, it's gonna make a hard left, and it's gonna hit, you know, Delaware." And I was like, "Oh no!" So I went to every Home Depot and Lowe's in the state and could not find a generator. Right?
Yeah, because Lyle's house, when the wind blows above 20 miles an hour, he loses power.
Done. So I went on Amazon and I found a small generator, enough to run my fridge and my sump pump, right, for like $350. And I was like, sold. But I had to have it shipped the next day because the hurricane was going to hit the day after that. So when I did next day shipping, the shipping was $300.
Ooh.
And I was like, you know what? It says it's Prime eligible. Let me sign up for Prime, the free 7-day trial or 30-day trial, whatever it is, and see if that knocks it down. So I signed up for Prime, and guess how much the shipping was?
$50.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. I went from $300 to $5. And I was like, you know what? Sold. Like, at $80 a year, it'll take 3.5 years before I don't make this back. So I think we can play with this whole Prime thing. And it's been great, dude. I love it, man. A lot of times I get stuff sent to me the very next day. And I live in the middle of nowhere, you know?
Well, we do have a distribution center, like, you know, 5 minutes from our house.
Yeah, there's one in Middletown, too.
There's one in Middletown, one in Newcastle.
Newcastle, right, yeah. So,
right, so
probably shouldn't be show shocking. But my daughter works in the one in Middletown. She says it's awful. Yeah, it's just like a dark warehouse, and you're not allowed to bring anything in. No electronics, no nothing, because they're so afraid of people stealing. So kind of crazy. But, but if you think about it, dude, all these companies we're talking about that Wyft, there's one that just keeps knocking them out of the park. Just
yeah, because I can't recall anything that they've done, and I'm sure there's been stuff that has not succeeded. It's like they really do their research before they launch something, you know?
Yeah.
They know the great thing about Amazon is you get the 2-day shipping, and you say it's free 2-day shipping. It's not, because you pay the yearly fee, and that's fine. But dude, you get the movie service, which is great.
Yep.
You can go on Amazon and rent a movie and have it show up through Prime. I mean, it's great.
Yep. Yep. Plus, don't forget,
there's a music service.
There's a music service. There's also a book service.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're just dominating entertainment. And it's hilarious to me that I just love the fact that, like, the ABC, NBC, CBSs of the world are just, like, dumbfounded as to what to do. Because, dude, they have a massive market, right? They still can't figure it out.
Well, like I was telling you before, you know, I had a problem with my DirecTV internet, so I wasn't able to do on demand, right? So I missed an episode of, I can't even remember what it was, Sherlock, probably something like that. And so I went and downloaded the CBS Access, All Access app, right? It's like, I'll just watch it on this. I prefer to watch, you know, stuff on a TV, but I'll watch it on my iPad. That's fine. So I went to and downloaded the app and, you know, told them who my provider was and all that kind of stuff. And then I tried to watch the show and it was like, yeah, it's going to cost you $5 a month to get access to these shows.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. You're going to show me commercials and you want $5 a month?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know what? I'll just miss the episode. Thanks anyway.
And also, dude, name a television program on a major network, NBC, CBS, whatever, right, that even remotely compares to Daredevil or Narcos. Or they're just not close. If you look at the really good shows that have been talked about a lot over the past several years, they're all on either Netflix, AMC, or HBO. Maybe Showtime. You could throw Showtime in there. They've had
Showtime
some good ones, too.
Yeah,
they have Dexter and stuff. But, dude, none of them, you know, the days of NYPD Blue are gone, man. They're just gone, and I don't see them getting it back. The only thing they have left is live sports. That's it. It's the only reason I ever turn those stations on.
Right.
I don't go there for news anymore, right? I go to a different news network, or better yet, I just read it online, right? So I don't do that, and I'm never going to go, oh, guys, you know, new episode of blah, blah, blah's on at 8 o'clock. We have to watch it. Never. I never do that. I don't understand. With DVRs and all the other crap you can do to get that show, I would never do that to myself. I can't remember the last time outside of watching sports, I watched a television show on TV as it was happening. We used to do Walking Dead.
Right.
I mean, I meant on a major network, but we used to do Walking Dead, but even that, we're always delayed. We're always doing something, messing around, and then we end up, you know, turning it on, you know, 15, 20 minutes into the show, and then just fast forward through the commercials.
Exactly.
It's crazy, man.
Do you remember the issue I said I was going to have?
Yeah.
Today? Yeah, I'm having it now. What's that? He's calling me. He's done. My kid's at baseball practice at this point.
Well, shoot him a text and tell him you'll be there in a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell him. I keep trying to tell him, but...
Yeah, we're trying to squeeze this. Our schedules have been kind of crazy, mainly mine. And we're trying to squeeze this one in the middle of the day on a Thursday. And it's not working out for us all that well.
Well, you know, we have windows of opportunity. You know?
We do. And, my wife's out of town and my kids are here. That's why my kid walked into my office. But hey, this is random. Random things happen.
Right. That's the whole point. So one other thing I wanted to bring up, and then we can crank it out. But
all right.
The thing that we talked about, the music business really missing the boat on this. iTunes really jumped in there and helped. And there's a couple other services. Apple Music is out there. But for me, and I know you, the thing that's really revolutionized music for me is Spotify, dude. When they went to the when they went to the family, you know, subscription, which is I think $15 or something
ridiculous.
And I have my entire family on this.
Yep.
And anything iTunes I want to listen to, I'm never going to buy an album again. I took all the songs off my phone.
Yeah, man. The thing is, man, I hear that that Spotify is really bad for the artists, though, and they don't have certain artists because of that. I'm going to get the details wrong, but I heard that. I think a very popular R&B singer, Usher, that dude.
Right.
I think it was him. It could have been somebody else. But anyway, there was a song that was played like 500 million times on Spotify.
Right.
And he made like $5,000.
Wow.
There's something ridiculous. Like, those numbers are probably off, but it was some crazy, it doesn't even make any sense gap between the amount of plays it got and the amount of money that actually went to the artist. So I think Spotify's days might be numbered, but there will always be a service like that. So, like, iTunes has one. There will always be something. They just might have to treat the artist a little bit better.
Yeah.
But you're right, dude. And I'll tell you what's really revolutionized entertainment for me, dude, is freaking podcasts, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I produce them. You know, yeah, I'm involved in that industry, but I listen to podcasts more. That's probably my number one form of entertainment. I probably do that more than watch TV, play video games, probably all of those other things combined.
Because yeah, there's so many good ones out there.
There's so many, right? There's so many. And I mean, honestly, I can barely get through all of Joe Rogan's podcast in a week, right? Because he produces 3-hour episodes he'll put 3 or 4 of them out a week, you know. So that's 9 to 12 hours of entertainment, right?
Yeah, that's
crazy. So I'm trying to keep up with that.
Yeah, but he'll go for hours. By the way, I've started the closing music, dude.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I think that this medium is just beginning, and I think we're just seeing the birth of this new era of entertainment that really you can grab anything you want. And if you're out there, get on this boat, get on this random train.
You know what? Maybe we can do that as a random show, as all the cool podcasts out there.
we should do that. Oh man, I know so many of them, dude.
We'll talk about it. All right, bro, we're out. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with another random. Check us out on we're on Blog Talk Radio with this show. You can go to Yes Random on Twitter and check us out there as well. So enjoy your time. Have fun. Peace. See ya.
Love you, mean it.
Yeah, yeah. That's the other show, dude.
Doesn't matter. It's what I'm known for. All right. I will send this to you. All right.